you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO, Palm City, the good news station.
Tune in every Wednesday at 4 p.m. for Team Martech, local professionals serving our community. Listen to a financial advisor, local attorney, independent insurance agent, mortgage broker, realtor, and certified public accountant. They discuss issues and answer questions of interest to you. That's Team Martech, Wednesdays at 4 p.m. on WCNO.
Morningside Academy, the first private school in Port St. Lucie, has been providing academics with excellence since 1987. Morningside Academy offers private Christian education in a godly atmosphere, teaching truths that will last a lifetime. Morningside Academy provides excellence in academics, athletics, and the arts while developing Christ-like leaders for today and the future. For more information, call 772-335-3231.
If you want Jesus that bad, get ready for the persecution. Get ready to be different. Get ready for the trials and the challenges, but get ready for and walk into the victory.
Welcome to Capturing His Conscience with Pastor Bernard King, Sr. Pastor Bernard is Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. The focus of our ministry is to be more than ordinary servants for an extraordinary God. This is your host, Tom Moon. In today's program, we're going to continue a topical message that will help us to remember to be consistently grateful for the birth of Jesus Christ. Pastor Bernard will be discussing several passages of Scripture in today's message, beginning with Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 14. We're going to pick up with Pastor's discussion on how we can practically allow the Spirit of God to govern our lives. Now here's Pastor Bernard with the continuation of the message, Consistently Grateful for the Gift of God.
So I'm let God to be application. Govern my thoughts, govern my words, and govern my actions. What does that look like? Say you and your missus or your spouse or a coworker, we'll just stay home. It's your spouse, and you have some words. I know the spouses here, you guys don't ever have those words, do you? You only have what I call deliberate discussions, not arguments. I understand that. You don't ever get upset or perturbed or disappointed, right? No, look, here's the thing. Even if you know that the principle or the position that you're fighting for, and some of you guys need to call time out because it's all about who's got to win. Stop trying to win and focus on how can we do the will of God. Do you hear me? Stop focusing on who's wrong and who and you're right and you got to win, or you're fighting for a position and you're jockeying for control in the relationship. No, what you need to do is say, this is about the Lord being in control. Somebody, come on, Christian wife, Christian husband, somebody got to say, this is about the Lord. So how you govern? He will govern what comes out your mouth. It will govern what you think. What are you thinking about your spouse? What are you thinking about your life? How do you think about your worship and your service, your thoughts? Are they governed by God and His Spirit, or are they governed by the world? Or are they governed by your deceitful heart? Or are they governed by your anger and your frustration and your disappointments? Or are they governed by your prejudices? What governs your thoughts? Romans 8, 12 through 14. If I want to glorify a life that glorifies God, if I want to promote a life that glorifies God and show gratitude, He will be governing my thoughts, my words, and my actions. He will be Lord. Look at that. Romans 8, 12 through 14. Look at it. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not obligated, not to the flesh. For you guys that know the Bible, I'm not talking about skin, muscle, and bone here. I'm talking about that immaterial part of you that can't be measured by science. I'm talking about that part of you, that is emotions, that part, your flesh, the negative nature, that selfish nature, that sinful nature from the Adamic curse. That's the flesh I'm talking about here. Therefore, brethren, Paul said, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. My body cannot be my Bible. My disappointments, my frustrations, my anger, my fear, and my doubt cannot dictate my life for me. And the shortcoming of people and the failures of leaders, pastors, or politicians, or governors, they should not lead and dictate your life. They shouldn't govern and tell you what kind of car you're going to buy, what kind of house you're going to live in, how you're going to spend your money, who governs your life. He said, for if we live after the flesh, you will be blessed. No, it doesn't say that, does it? If you live after the flesh, you will fly. You live after the flesh, you will die. Is that the Bible? Wait a minute, Pastor. Wait a minute. I think you'd be a little bit extreme. You're taking that out of context now. I mean, come on, Pastor. That's not even PC. That's not politically correct. You mean tell me if I live my life the way I want and do what I want to do and enjoy all the pleasures I want, drink what I want, do the women, do the wine, do the drugs, do the greed thing, do whatever I want? Look at your life. Step aside for a moment. Look at your life and tell me how well you're doing without Jesus. Please have enough humility and be responsible enough to sit back and say, when I make decisions with my humanity, when I make decisions and build associations with my flesh, I notice something consistent here. That's a pattern. And what's the pattern, Pastor? The pattern is I get punished. The pattern is I get hurt. I get wounded, even by the church folks. If you live out the flesh, you would die. But if you live through the Spirit, everybody say Spirit. Here's what I love about spiritual living. It's not the knowledge of the Bible, you know. It's the application of the Bible. And you apply it because you believe it. And when you are spiritually living right with God, you have in your possession weapons of warfare that are not carnal, but mighty through God with the pulling down of strongholds. Are you tracking with me? That's why no rehab or self-help group would be able to deliver you from that life-dominating sin. If you keep sowing, I have family members. It breaks my heart. I was having a conversation with a family member, and both our hearts were broken. And all of you got family members that when you try to gather around for a Christmas meal or a Christmas celebration, it wasn't so festive because it was fleshly. Because they've elected to sow seeds. They've elected to plant a life that's going to reward them with judgment. The wage of sin is death. God said you die, you plant those. But through the Spirit, I got the capacity that when someone asks me, how'd you like that gift? I can tell them the truth. Well, quite frankly, to be honest, no matter who it is, I didn't need it. It don't fit. You really didn't think about it. You really didn't invest in it. You just dropped this off. Just something. Just be, oh, the Spirit of Truth. Oh, you're unkind. You're not appreciative. Because I'm telling you the truth. I'm able to mortify my flesh, because everybody in here, you know, if it's the right circumstance or a specific situation that the enemy's attacking you on, you're very quick to be dishonest. Are you hearing me? People lie in a minute. Won't take ownership. We'll move there real quickly without even thinking about it sometimes. You know you have a fearful disposition. And because you walk in worry, so much, you don't even walk in the Spirit. You walk in the Spirit, it will handle that worry. Paul said, you mortify, put the deeds of the body, you shall live. Verse 14, for as many that are, what's that word? Led, governed by the Spirit of God, they are called the sons of God. What makes a Christian, what distinguishes a Christian, a biblical Christian, is the person that the life you know is governed by the principles of the Word of God, and they're under the influence of His Holy Spirit. That's a real Christian. Because when I think about that word govern, as you're looking at how to show gratitude, God says, you show me gratitude with the gift of eternal life, Bernard King, when I know that I am the leader. I lead you in your decisions, and I'm your Lord, and I'm your shepherd, and I'm your guide. Bernard King, I am your shepherd, I am your Lord, I am your leader, and I'm your guide, and I will guide you in this world. You practice that, you're demonstrating a life where God is being appreciated. Point number two. Yes, we got to make sure that he's government. Or second one, investing. A life that promotes gratitude toward God and eternal life is a life that's investing. Investing in who? Investing in God. That word investing, you know, it's a banking term, but it can also communicate and convey the idea is that what you do with the use of your time, what you do, what you devote yourself to, and you're divesting and devoting your time and your energy, and again, TWA, your thoughts, your words, and your actions will point to who you invest in and what you're investing in. You're investing to get a return. And for the Christian, let me tell you the big blessing. When you are investing in God, guess what you get rewarded with? You ready? Intimacy and a rich relationship with Jesus Christ. When I'm investing, like, the reason why the children have no respect for dad and have no respect for mom is because they met all the monetary things, but they didn't prioritize the children. They didn't make time for the children. And unfortunately, in this culture, because you don't invest in these children, you don't make time for these children, guess what they do to you a little bit later in life? They won't come see you. You have become an inconvenience, an obligation, versus someone I love to invest in. Is that the truth today? Because here's the thing, when you are a Christian and you're not investing in your walk with Jesus Christ, you're not investing and prioritizing Him. How do you prioritize God? Well, what do you do on Wednesday nights? What do you do on Sundays? What do you do with your money? What do you do with your time? It's like, I know I have church. However, this is more important to me right now. It's fun. It's relaxation. It's just to sit back and, oh, I just give God my leftovers when it comes down to my time. I give God my leftovers when it comes down to the money. Let me ask you a question. Be honest with yourself. If you're in a relationship with someone and you have a half-witted, inconsistent, not caring, just a laissez-faire, just late attitude where you just don't put anything in the relationship, how intimate will that relationship be? Will it grow? Is it going anywhere? It will not go anywhere. It's disintegrating. It's the same thing with God. How do we invest in Him, Pastor? Well, we know about devotions, but let me tell you why we should invest in Him. And how do you know when someone's investing in Jesus Christ? Pastor, is there an example in Scripture where it gives us a principle where we see somebody promoting that they're grateful and gracious for that gift of God? Well, let me share with you what Paul the Apostle wrote in Romans 3:10. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. Hear the heart of this man of God. Paul, what is it that you want more than anything in this life, Paul? Paul, if I had to interview you, what is it that captures you? What is it that preoccupies you? That I may know him, not her, not it, but him. Who's him? Jesus. That I may know him. What is it that you want to know? How intimate, how deep, how far you want to go with Jesus? How much would you love Jesus? How much would you sacrifice for Jesus, Paul? Well, I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. Oh, my, my. You know what this is saying. If you want Jesus that bad, get ready for the persecution. Get ready to be different. Get ready for the trials and the challenges, but get ready for and walk into the victory. Paul said, I want to know the power of his resurrection. By the way, weren't you all dead at one point? And did not God resurrect you from the dead? So let's stop living like we're dead and start living like he's alive. You want to identify with Christ? There's going to be some suffering. You want to be identified with Christ? You got to die to this world. You got to take up the cross and follow me daily. Another reference, Psalm 42. Somebody that wanted investment. Someone that's investing in God, because I'm investing because it demonstrates that I'm grateful for my salvation. Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2. 42, verses 1 and 2. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so I pant my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsty for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? When I get up in the morning, or before I lay my head on my pillow at night, and do it. Some of you guys need to do this exercise. You need to evaluate your day. Examine what you did with your time. Examine what you're doing with the Lord. And you ask yourself, was there anything that rivaled? Was there anything that suspended my devotion? Was there anything that I was more excited about than Jesus? Ooh. Am I like this deer that's thirsting to be with God? So again, 2 points we got. Govern, investing. Point number 3, faithfulness. Faithfulness. I want a life that promotes a gratitude for the gift of God. There should be faithfulness. The principle of faithfulness should be a reality in my life. Faithfulness. You know that word. That word is defined this way. Strict or thorough in the performance of a duty. That's definition number 1. Strict or thorough in the performance of a duty. It's also attached to a faithful worker. Here's another one. True to your promises. True to one's words and promises. You're true. I like this definition. Steady in allegiance and affection. Steady in allegiance and affection. In other words, my love toward God is stable. It's steady. It's not moving. It's steady. I'm loyal to him and I'm in love with him. And also trusted and reliable. Is faithfulness an important thing today? A life, again, if you are appreciative of the gift of eternal life, you have a faithfulness about you that fellow Christians and that unsaved family members and people should see that you are faithful. Psalms, write the reference down. Psalm 101, verse 6. Psalm 101, verse 6. Look at the reward that the psalmist writes in Psalms 101, verse 6. Psalmist write, my eye shall be upon the faithful of the land. Who are the faithful of the land in the United States of America? Who is the faithful of the land when it comes down to your family members and friends? Faithful to who? The system, the politics, the philosophies, and the rudiments, and the principles of this world? Or am I faithful to God. The faithfulness of the land. Why? That they may dwell with me. He that walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. Oh, my goodness. You mean to tell me, Father, that I can't serve you, I can't walk with you, if I'm not really demonstrating faithfulness? It's not a reality in my life. I'm steady with this thing. Why do you go to church on Wednesdays, Pastor? Pastor, you say, well, Pastor, you have to be there because you're the pastor. Why are you there every Sunday, Pastor? Well, again, you have to be there because you're the pastor. But if God's called you to serve at Cornerstone Bible Fellowship, and God's told you live your life separate for the gospel of Jesus Christ, not just here at Cornerstone Bible Fellowship, but out there in the world, how faithful are you? How faithful? Proverbs has this way of addressing people who do a lot of talk. They say they're committed. They say they're devoted. They say they love God. They say they are gifted. They say they have talents. And they boast about the gifts and what they can do and how much they can serve the Lord. But here's what Proverbs says to the person that just says it with their lips. Proverbs 20, verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? Steady in affections, steady in allegiance, unmovable, dependable, strict, determined to keep the standards to God, faithful. At final point, we've got govern, we've got investment, we have faithfulness, and the final principle that would demonstrate a gratitude toward God for the gift of salvation is the word thankfulness. Thankfulness. And if you're paying attention, you see G-I-F-T. Thankfulness. You know, people are not appreciative anymore today. Are you thankful? Do you demonstrate thankfulness? In other words, do you express gratitude? Put the T-W-A again. Are you thankful with your thoughts? Are you communicating thankfulness with your words? And do your actions reflect that you are thankful? Psalm 100, verse 4. Psalm 100, verse 4. Everybody had the opportunity to demonstrate this morning before you came to church, before you sat down here in this assembly. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Pause. Let's be honest. You don't have to raise your hand. I'm not going to put you on the spot. Who walked in here with an attitude, not with thanksgiving, but with an attitude of complaining? Who walked here with an attitude, I really don't want to be here. I'm obligated because it's church, it's Sunday. Who walked in here with a disposition of anger, frustration, loneliness, bitterness, unforgiveness, doubt, fear? When you came to the house of God this morning, do we come in here? I can always tell. And it's only natural because we're all sinners and fall short of the glory of God. Thank God for grace. Some of you might be going, your heart, you walked in with a heavy heart. You walked in with a heart of sorrow. Well, the psalmist says, I need to do my best by the grace of God to enter his gates with thanksgiving and come into his courts be praised. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Here's an honest disposition of that. Lord, I'm heartbroken. I'm fearful. I'm just being honest with you. But you know what? I will choose to bless you anyway today. I'm going to bless you anyway. I'm going to go against my nature for a change, God. God, I'm sick and tired of capitulating and giving in to what my heart wants, what my body wants. You know what, God? I'm going to do the opposite for the first time in a long time. I'm going to do something different with my life. I'm going to bless you in spite of myself, in spite of my circumstances. I'm going to bless your name, God, because I'm going to bless you and thank you that I may not have the answer, but I know the big picture. And the big picture is this: I win. You win. I know what the scoreboard is saying. Stop looking at the scoreboard, no matter what the score is. You're going to win with God. Do you guys know you win with God? You win. No matter what your physical condition is, you win with God. Your financial situation, God says, I understand it, but you win. I'm going to enter his gates with thanksgiving. Now, there's an attitude that's out there that's not just with the world, but in our text. Write this reference down, Romans 1:21. Romans 1:21, as we're talking about thankfulness. Romans 1:21. If you don't walk with thankfulness, you may behave and look like, in TWA, like the people that are presented in Romans 1:21. And in Romans 1:21, you that know the Bible or the unbelievers, and they suppress the truth. But here's what the Bible says. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Pastor, what are you saying? What are you saying, Pastor? Be careful. Because an unthankful heart is a sign of a heart that's been judged. The sign of a heart. It's the sign of a heart that's dark and foolish. Be careful. Because that's what the world does. That's why they don't want to hear nothing about your Jesus, about the Bible, about your life. They're not thankful for who God is. And one more verse. Christian, if you want a life that promotes gratitude and are thankful for the gift of God in your thoughts, your words, and your actions, Colossians 3:15 tells you that there should be something ruling in your life. There should be a dynamic ruling and an influence ruling in your heart. Colossians 3:15. The Bible says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Be thankful. Go back to the analogy of the Christmas gifts again. Remove that. You've been influenced by the culture. You've been influenced by the season. Maybe you've been seduced by being selfish because you got gifts you didn't want, you didn't appreciate it. But there's one gift that we always should appreciate. And you demonstrate that by if he's governing your life, if you invest in your relationship with him, are you a faithful Christian, and are you thankful for what he's done? You can manage to practice those 4 points. Your faith is not going to be stagnant. It's going to be invigorated. It's going to be alive. It's going to be real. And here's what happens. It becomes contagious. And that's what this pastor wants. That it's contagious that everyone is walking in and serving at Cornerstone Bible Fellowship with a gratitude for the gift. Amen.
We thank you for joining us today for the continuation of Pastor Bernard's message, Consistently Grateful for the Gift of God. In the conclusion of today's message, Pastor emphasized the need for thankfulness. According to the scriptures, the absence of thankfulness is a sign of a heart that has become dark and foolish. We must always remember to give thanks to the Lord with a grateful heart for all that he has done. To learn more about a relationship with God, please visit our website at cbfdelray.org or contact our office at 561-243-9127. We'd love to hear from you. We invite you to join us for our next program on Saturday at 1 p.m. Caption His Conscience is a ministry of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. Until next time, this is Tom Moon encouraging you to be more than an ordinary servant for an extraordinary God.